over bacon and eggs. We'll share a laugh and a story and even a wish on the breakfast dish. Bop, bop.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the 16th episode of The Breakfast Dish. Just a quick housekeeping note. It's just, we like to do some, you know, random announcements right at the beginning of the episode. One of us on the show is hungover. Doesn't matter which one out of the four of us are. We don't have to clear it up. I'm just letting you know in case there's audio problems.
Mummy is certain it's not you, right, son?
Of course not. I'm one of the co-hosts. I couldn't be. There's no way.
So you believe that one of our guests here, either Madeline Taylor Gregg or Madeline Hunter Smith, are in some way hungover, and you know this how?
All I'm saying is that somebody might have texted me or told me, or that, like, I might just inherently know about this person on a, you know, a spiritual level that they are indeed hungover.
It's a little narcissistic if you text yourself to tell yourself that you're hungover, I think.
Right, which is why I say texting is an option. I could just also inherently know the person, and you're being very accusatory over there, Karen.
Well,
maybe it's you.
Oh my God.
You're the one that doesn't look put together on this.
Don't expose me visually on our audio medium podcast. That's part of the deal. Part of the deal is that I'm safe from exposure. That's why we decided to do a podcast and that we didn't do video interviews. We made a deal. It's in my contract. And I'll be talking to Mr. Arts Authority about this. And Mrs. Rosé and Master Calgary Foundation, they will hear about this from my team.
From your people.
That's right. Oh my God, what a terrible self-serving opening bit.
Speaking of people, Griffin, we have two people as guests on our podcast today. One that you have mentioned is completely hungover from last night.
I didn't say the guest. I just said one of the four of us. So put your gun away.
Anyway, tell us about this podcast and why we do it, son.
Why we do it is...
Put that bottle down and just speak into
sorry.
The mic.
Sorry. Yeah. It's just to take the edge off. Listen, the way...
Hair of the dog.
That's right. Thank you. We haven't even properly introduced the guests and they're popping off sage wisdom. All right. We do the breakfast dish to introduce the public to some socially distant or some online or some digital art that they maybe didn't know about before, but also just to talk to the people behind it and to give me a reason to get up in the morning. although, that being said, it is 4 p.m. All right. Anyway, but today on the show, we have two lovely women joining us from the Theater Basement team of Bonnydale. We have Madeline Taylor Gregg, Artistic Associate of Theater Basement, and Madeline Hunter Smith, the project lead and creator of Hello Kate. Hello, you two.
Madeline Squared!
We love math.
First thing you have to know about me and Taylor Gregg is we love math. All right, and how are you two? How were your alcohol intakes last night? Normal, bare, what? What? Oh, we can talk about mine?
We're starting strong. Okay.
We're doing well already. I think we should leave it up to the imagination. They can try and determine who has the most hungover-sounding voice.
Ooh, that's right.
That's a fun game.
That was Madeline Taylor Gregg's voice just then, who said, you're judging by voice. That was Madeline Taylor Gregg. This is me, Karen Johnson Diamond, a well-known non-drinker, so that excludes me. How about you, Madeline Hunter Smith? Let's hear your voice.
This is my voice. I will let you do with this information what you please.
Hello, yes, we all have very normal voices. None of us are hungover. Right. Now, moving onward, Madeline Taylor Gregg, Theater Basement is, to my knowledge, the only horror-based theater company, well, I mean, I think anywhere. I haven't heard of another one, but what's the official declaration?
It's at least in Canada, I think also in North America.
Yeah, I'd buy that for sure. 100% I'd buy that. And what do you do with Theater Basement as an artistic associate?
Lots of different things. lots of creative chats and cool, spooky learning.
Cool, spooky learning.
For me, that would be math.
Me as well.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm in that boat.
Math and booze. That's what the breakfast dish is known for. Anyway, so now this is I wouldn't say second iteration, but like the continuation of Bonnydale. So do you want to give us a little history of Bonnydale and also of Theater Basement, if you have the lore?
Yeah, Bonnydale started off with Greg Wilson, Ryan Reese, Kelly Malcolm, and Camille Pavlenko. And they put it together for the Blue Light Festival with Verb. And it was sort of its own rendition of a spooky horror sort of entity thing. And Theater Basement has since picked it up and we're sort of expanding on this, making it into a series, I guess.
Very cool.
It's a series, but it's not a podcast, right?
Correct.
It's not a web series, right?
Also correct.
Since hosting three podcasts, Karen gets confused when things aren't podcasts. That's not a piece of toast, is it?
Only if pieces of toast are spooky.
And I'm petrified.
I just want to go along with the idea that you had called it a spooky entity. And I think that's important that people know.
I'm referencing specifically Hello, Kate. But yeah, there is some video.
There's some video. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Hello, Kate specifically?
Whatever you want to reveal of Hello, Kate without spoiling the entity that it is.
Ooh, okay. So what I can tell you is Hello, Kate is a series of videos. There's about... I actually don't know. I think there's 23 or 24 of them. And they're about 4 minutes long each, so short little videos that follow this young woman named Kate as she discovers these like notes that are being left around her house and like creepy things that are happening. And she's kind of unraveling this mystery of what's going on around her as she's isolated at home.
Now, you played it off very coy because you said they're 4 minutes and that they're very short videos. Because we all love math, I just want to talk about this for a second. That means you've made close to 95 minutes of video footage, right? Because you said, oh, they're short, 4 minutes. But you said there's 24 of them?
Yeah.
Right. So that's a film. That's a full film.
Yep.
That's a festival. That could be Oscar winning. Who knows?
Yeah, okay. I'll take it.
Would you say they're all... one take, or did you do a whole bunch of shots and edit them all together?
Some are edited together and some are just straight through. What? Why are you laughing?
He's laughing because he's drunk.
I'm plastered and I'm loving the podcast.
Just having a lot of laughs.
And all I understand is podcast. That's all I get. That's all I can relate to.
Griffin may be drunk, but we still don't know who's hungover.
That's right. So it can't be me. Actually, I'm safe now. Thank you, Madeline.
Remember when we were worried about swearing on this podcast? Because we thought, you know, it's morning. It has to be family friendly. And now we've just completely outed you as the alcoholic lush that you are.
If there's any kids listening, it's fine to do when you're above 18 and your parents say it's fine. Or when you're away from home and they can't see you. That's also fine to do. Bad advice.
Okay, now we know that there's 25-ish 4-minute videos involved in this experience of this Kate who is stuck at home in isolation. But there's so many other parts to it, I think.
Oh my God, she fell asleep.
is your way into it, the very first step is your way in a video?
Are you talking about the first part of Hello, Kate, or how people first find Bonnydale? Because I think those are different.
I guess. Explain the difference.
let's start at the beginning.
That's a good thing to...
differentiate.
Yep.
Oh my God, it's Karen who's hungover. Okay. What I remember Bonnydale as from the first iteration from the Blue Light Festival is that Bonnydale was... a neighborhood, I think, that they were exploring. Like, they were originally, it was a undiscovered, undisclosed, kind of spooky, scary neighborhood. And MTG, why don't you talk a little bit about how that's evolved? Like, what is Bonnydale now?
Without giving too much away, the existence of Bonnydale follows some rules.
That's the coolest thing I've heard in weeks.
I remember this now. I remember thinking it lives in the world of Night Vale, right? Welcome to Night Vale. I mean, in the sense that it's otherworldly.
Wait, what is Night Vale?
It's a podcast, Griffin.
Got it. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Podcast queen.
I guess, like, it does and doesn't, because Bonnydale is one thing and is another thing. All at once, because it's open to the interpretation of the artist. But it does follow some rules. Those rules I will not divulge. but maybe you'll be able to figure them out if you try and watch, listen, explore Bonnydale. But basically the way in for Bonnydale is the Basement Door blog, which is written by a character named Jess. She is a ghost hunter. And she explores creepy things, and at sort of the inception of the blog, she has started in writing a new blog as she's moved into a new house, and things are starting to happen.
And if we're calling Hello Kate kind of a Bonnydale chapter, how many chapters are there in Bonnydale?
Well, there are 10, like, artist groups who are involved, so I'd say there's about roughly 10 parts.
Do I need to have been a part of Verb's Blue Light Festival Bonnydale experience to enjoy this Bonnydale experience?
No.
Yay!
I
mean, not to say I wasn't.
Yay!
Yeah.
For the average listener.
It's not a podcast, so I hate it.
The cool thing about having seen or going to see the original version of it is that there are bits and pieces that you might see in other chapters from the first one. So there is a bit of crossover, just for, like, little Easter eggy things. And you can still access the original Bonnydale from Theater Basement's YouTube. It's also available on their Facebook and such.
So they are the 10, roughly 10 chapters are not only linked in the set of rules that Bonnydale follows that we may or may not be able to piece together, but also, while they are standalone stories, it would behoove you to watch all of them and see if you can't pick out the joinings, the fasteners and whatnot.
Yes.
Cool. So cool. And are they all like Hello Kate, or are they all mostly video?
No. We have a few different mediums based on whatever the artist was interested in exploring. We have some audio recordings. There is video, of course. There's a group that's been doing documentation on TikTok.
This might be a very hard question for you, Madeline Hunter-Smith, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. I am always very impressed by companies like Theater Basement or Vertigo Theater that can scare you in real life when surrounded by anywhere between, whatever, 40 to 400 other people, not now, obviously, but used to, have an actual, like, kind of guttural, or even, you know, even comedies, like, have an actual guttural reaction from live theater.
He's talking about the times that I scream and grab his knee like a little girl.
Yeah, sometimes it's a scream, but sometimes you go like a, oh! Like you're kind of mad at the play for doing what they did to you, for how dare they? But I guess my question is, as currently someone like making digital or online art who used to and will then in the future make live in-person art, what would you say the difference is in terms of creating that atmosphere of tension or fear in this new medium? Is that an insane question? Madeline Taylor Gregg, you can also jump in with your input.
No, this is a hard question. You gave it to Madeline Hunter-Smith. She has to answer.
Never mind. Don't. You sit back. You sit back. It's me. I'm hungover.
Okay. I'm just trying to gather what you said.
I talked a lot of crap, for sure.
Just a minute. I'll do it. Is it different trying to scare people in Hello Kate than it is at Theater Basement in the Burdenstone? How's that, Griff?
Sorry, Karen. You didn't put a 15-minute anecdote in front of your question, so I don't understand it. Good God. Sorry.
I think that horror theater is definitely different now, obviously. So much of the experience of horror comes from, I think, the dichotomy of, like, being alone versus being with people. There's equally terrifying components to both of those things. What I loved about horror theater in person was that you can feel the tension in the room, whether it's from the actors or the people in the audience with you. You know, when you're holding your breath, everyone else is holding their breath. You don't get that, obviously, in the digital world. So you have to kind of adapt and think, okay, how can I still get that breath-holding tension when I'm, you know, 50 kilometers away or whatever? So it's definitely different. It's definitely difficult. For Hello Kate, I relied a lot more on, like, found footage film techniques of to elicit fear. But yeah, I definitely, I miss the breath holding with everybody.
Well, we spoke to Louise Casemore a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about, you know, if you're going to sit down and watch some digital art, make it the event. Get dressed up, sit down, turn the lights off, get a glass of wine and experience it. Because I feel like Bonnydale is going to be an entirely different experience if you do that than if I'm also trying to cut vegetables. Like, I think you have to give your full attention the way you would, I don't know, horror movies. I sit down, I turn the lights off, I watch them, I'm scared, I regret it. But I still get in it.
I regret it.
I do like the trade you're following there. Would you have recommended viewing settings or recommended viewing environment for Hello Kate? Like, I remember when Ghost River did Tomorrow's Child, they went, you got to get a blindfold, it's important. So is there any, because you can't really control the lighting design of how it's being viewed in the environment, like, do you suggest, like, you know, watch it late at night, turn off your lights? What do you want us to do, Madeline? Just tell us what you want from us.
I suggest open all your blinds, unlock all your doors, turn off every light, and watch it by yourself.
Unlock all your doors.
And just put candy and stuff up your sidewalk leading to your open front door.
Oh, yeah. Lure people in. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Really get the atmospheric experience.
Although, it sounds like you're trying to lure in children, Karen, by a trail of candy.
Oh, my God.
This is a terrible profile for the co-host of the Calgary Arts Development Authority, Rosé Foundation, Calgary Foundation sponsored podcast.
I just want to say something, though. Horror theater, I think a lot of people think, oh, if it's horror theater, it's just going to be a dark room and people jumping out at me and scaring me. But we have to remember how much the other things that Theater Basement have done, that the horror just comes out of the feeling of, would I be capable of doing what that just person just did? Or because I saw The Curing Room,
yes,
which I think was a Theater Basement. And there's a cannibalistic element of that show. And I was horrified, and yet I'm sitting in the basement of a church. And then I go to see The Confessions of Jeffrey Dahmer, and I'm in the basement of a totally different church, but it's this tiny, tiny space. And it's Jay Whitehead, who I know and love, and is, like, about the least scariest person that you could ever encounter in the world.
Well.
Well. I have not been taught by him. And I was freaking out. There's so much horror to be found that isn't just stabbing you in the shower.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what makes it so compelling as a genre, too. Like, you can find horror in pretty much anything, especially the more absurd it is. And then in the same breath, the closer to home it is. I think, yeah, it's such a wide genre that you can really sink your teeth into.
Ooh. I do like the concept of, encompassing horror and horrifying. Like, it doesn't have to be, as Karen said, re-stabby.
Re-stabby.
It's three re's.
Got it. I'm sorry. There has been a time in knowing you, Battle Hunter Smith, that you have said to me, horror is your thing.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, it is.
yeah. And obviously, Madeline Taylor Gregg has some interest in horror at working at North America, but maybe the world's only horror-based theater company. Do you guys want to talk about what it is that draws you to the genre?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Karen.
No, I'm saying I also wish for that to happen.
I can jump in here. It's funny because when I first started at Basement, it was sort of like, this is an interesting company who's doing different things in Calgary that I appreciate. Also, U of L alum, that's great.
Woohoo, U of L.
Woohoo.
I'm a fan.
Me too. And I was not a huge horror fan. I was definitely scared by like gory movies and kind of tended to avoid them. But since coming on board with the company, I've had sort of like a horror education, I guess, where talking about it and learning and listening to Ryan and Conrad talk about horror, it's turned it on its head for me because horror can encapsulate so much. Something that I really love about it is that fact that it can be anything, and that it reflects what's going on in the world. So in a huge way, horror has always been a political medium, which I think is really cool. Yeah, and it can be anything. Horror can be comedy if you want it to be.
Especially if you hate comedies.
Yeah, where Riri Stabbies are the funniest thing you've ever seen.
You're missing a re.
What drew you, Madeline Hunter Smith?
Well, I've liked horror. I've liked being scared since I was a little kid. And I guess, like, growing up, I've just kind of noticed how, like Maddie was saying, how genuinely scary the world is, especially if you're female identifying. I think horror, you know, you see a lot, especially in horror films, like the final girl kind of thing. And I think that's so interesting to me, this weird trope of like this female identifying experience in this horrible, scary nightmare world. That I think a lot of female identifying people can relate to. You know, it's this concept of your judgments being questioned, your sanity being questioned, you questioning that in yourself. And I think, to me, the confusion and the miscommunication between a female identifying person and the world around them is terrifying. Being misunderstood scares me to death.
For me, Stab in the Shower was the first horrific thing I ever experienced, in the sense that I was 7 and I accidentally walked in on the living room when my mom or somebody was watching Psycho. And that's my first memory of being that scared. But what is your earliest memory of being just shocked, terrified? Well, Griffin, what's yours?
And my earliest memory of being scared is also my earliest memory of my first nightmare, which is I just woke up in my room, and I know it was my room because I used to have that little mat in my room that said "Goodnight Moon." Do you remember that? It was the roughest thing
yep.
in the world.
Yep.
Anyway, and in my room there was like three or four skeletons, but they were
what? You had skeletons in your room?
In the dream room.
Oh, in the dream.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
I couldn't tell if that was a bit, but if it was.
Karen, why are you letting Griffin keep skeletons in
no knives,
room?
But you can have some ghouls.
You can have bones.
That's right. Yeah, real bone skeletons in my room. But they had like, their torso just looked like black muscle. Like just like it was just like jet black. It was insane. And then. So obviously I tried to scream and that didn't work out. So one of them looked at me and swallowed me. That's my first nightmare. And then I woke up and then I ran to your room and I said, "Let me in."
Huh.
I remember you telling me about that. Isn't that amazing? I forgot till right now, but I remember you telling me that nightmare. I want to point out that when Madeline Hunter Smith went, you had skeletons in your room. She had this look of jealousy on her face. Like she wanted them. In her room.
I wish I had skeletons in my room.
Blessed childhood.
Yeah, anatomically correct.
My parents didn't love me. Okay, Madeline Hunter Smith, do you remember the first scare you ever had?
Ooh. I actually think it was when I was probably like 6 or 7. My grandfather, I was staying at my grandma and grandpa's house, and my grandma had gone to get groceries or something, and my grandpa pulled down all the blinds, like, super creepy style, and was like, "Run!" And then chased me and my sister around the house. I don't know what, like, I actually think he genuinely might have been possessed. It was the single most terrifying moment of my childhood. But we ran and locked ourselves in the bathroom. And he came and started knocking on the bathroom door, and me and my sister were like, "Go away." And I think he stopped when we started crying. but I will never forget that. I was like, my grandpa's a zombie. Like, this is how I die.
So I was going to make a joke that, like, your grandpa pulled a knife on you, and then it got a little too close to that. Run!
He was literally just chasing us. He was just chasing us around, but it was like this weird, like, possession. I don't even know how to describe it.
Holy
But I think
crap.
That changed my life. Yeah,
that's traumatizing.
And that's why I am the way I am.
Family reunions is just Grandpa peeking out of the blinds. Remember, I can run faster than you still.
MTG, what is your earliest shocky, scare moment of horror?
Oh, I don't know if this is the earliest, but it's one. My dad used to tell me a bedtime story before I went to sleep. Almost every night, he would come, he would tuck me in, and I must have been like 7 or 8 years old. He would tuck me in, and then he would make it up on the spot, and it became this one story sort of became like a chronicle that he would tell me chapters and then just always make them up every night, and it would be a new chapter.
Amazing.
Where we left off.
That's
the night
cool.
before. But there was this one part of the story, and he was like definitely drawing from horror movies that he had seen since, but I had no idea. There's this one scene in the story, which was, by the way, about a goat.
Aha.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. A traveling goat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. That had a little suitcase that he would bring around with him.
Oh my god!
And he decided to leave the farm because all the other animals were mean to him. And so he took his suitcase and headed down the road, and it started to get dark outside. And so he's like, "Oh, I gotta find somewhere to sleep." And I mean, like, I might be a goat, but I can't sleep outside.
Sorry, this was your childhood bedtime story.
Yeah, yeah.
And the goat realized he wasn't alone.
Wait, I have to figure out how this ends. Okay. So the goat can't sleep outside even though he's a goat.
Right, yes. Sorry. So keeps traveling down the road and comes across this old house. And he's like, oh man, this house looks great. Oh, by the way, I should tell you, the goat's name is Silly Billy Goat.
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that. How dare you not tell us that from the beginning.
Sorry about that. So he is like, okay, well, this abandoned, creepy, dilapidated house is the perfect place for me to sleep. So he walks up the stairs, and he goes inside, and it's dark inside, obviously no electricity, and so he goes upstairs, and there's somehow a bed. Great. So he gets himself ready for bed, and he goes to sleep.
No, and then no, Silly Billy.
Don't do it, Billy.
In the middle of the night, he hears a sound, and it's like, and it wakes him up. And he doesn't know what that is. And he's like, how could that be coming from inside this house? There's nobody in here. And so he gets out of the bed to go investigate. And he trots along the top floor and then heads down the stairs where he can hear the sound coming from. And then he walks into the living room. And there's this rocking chair in the living room.
Yes.
And I knew it. I knew it.
And it's rocking back and forth. And there's someone sitting in it.
Uh-oh.
And he's confused because he doesn't know where this person came from. And so he says, hello? And the rocking chair stops. And the figure stands. And it's this woman. And he can't see her all that well because it's dark inside. And this old woman, she turns around to look at him. And as she turns around to look at him, she says, I've been waiting for you. And he inches a little bit closer. He's like, you've been waiting for me. And realizes that she has no eyes. And so he freaks out, runs upstairs to grab his things, and then runs back downstairs. And she tries to catch him as he goes outside. And he escapes through the front door and then just takes off down the road in the middle of the night. And then from then on, this old woman with no eyes becomes the villain of the whole story.
Oh my god.
What a character introduction. Beautifully done.
So sometimes from my bedtime stories, Karen, we read through all the Harry Potter series, me and Mom. We read through all the series of unfortunate events. And then me and Dad started trying to read the Charlie Bone series, and that got too scary for me, so we stopped. And
I just want to let you know, Karen, if at any point when I was 6 or 7 years old, which is, I think, what Madeline Taylor Gray just said, if you tried to tell me that story, I would have called social services on you. I would have gotten my 7-year-old suitcase and left the house and taken the dog with me.
You know what? I just got to say this. Griffin asked earlier, how do you translate that idea of horror or that scare from live theater to, you know, the stay away from each other times? And that was just like, just you telling that story, MTG, was like, we were all transfixed on our little tiny Zoom squares. But it's, that's what I think we have to remember, is it's the storytelling. It's got, and you're a really good storyteller, and I think you got that from your dad, who was completely irresponsible telling you that story. No, I'm kidding. I want to know if your dad was in the arts.
He is not.
But a master improviser.
He's definitely a creative guy, and he did a degree in anthropology.
Okay, so bones, maybe, a bit. And
the study of human.
That's Madeline awesome. Hunter-Smith, what about your grandpa?
He worked for Coca-Cola.
Scary.
You know what? The corporation conglomerate, totally terrifying.
Run.
Run. Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
I wish that at some point in your life, you would, A, make a film of the thing, just a short film of Grandpa chasing the kids around the house. And then I want you, MTG, to write the book that is the story that your dad told you, like chapter by chapter. I would so buy that book in a hot second.
I'm going to do that to my grandkids. I'm going to lock all the doors and just yell, run.
It was fun until it was not fun anymore.
No one will ever believe you. Oh my God. I've decided that I want to change the mandate of our podcast, and I just want to hear about everybody's first horror story.
Yeah, me too.
Everybody's that's
there's
that
some
in itself,
really good content you can farm
that's,
from that.
It's fascinating.
Well, it's so interesting to see like what sticks with you as a kid too, and I think that informs a lot of what, like in the context of horror, I think that informs a lot of what you find scary down the road.
Yeah.
Like Hello Kate takes place in a house and my grandpa chased me around the house.
And he has no eyes and he's in a rocking chair.
The rocking chair was moving.
And he's a goat.
Speaking of storytelling, what is the best way for people to access Bonnydale? Or do you have a specific chapter of the story that you think they should start on? Is there like a start here thing, or can you explore each story individually? Where do they go?
Start with the blog, which you can access through Theater Basement's Facebook, Instagram, and there's also a Through the Basement Door Instagram that has the link to the blog as well. From the blog, it becomes sort of like a maze that you have to decipher, and you figure out your way through the stories of Bonnydale. So every person who engages with Bonnydale on the blog will experience it in a different way.
For our listeners, a blog is very similar to a vlog. And whereas a vlog is a video log of events, a blog is a basement log of events. That's why it's a blog.
Nice. That's right. Well done. And just for posterity, what is Theater Basement's social medias?
It's at Theater Basement. Theater spelt with an R-E and Basement B-S-M-T.
And for posterity, what are your two social medias if you want to plug them?
Are you drunk again?
Sorry, no. This is my not hungover voice as we established last time.
Full circle, guys.
Full circle. That's beautiful storytelling.
That's comedy. Got a callback.
My social medias are at Dad Dance Moves on Instagram and at Reckless Daughter Creative on Instagram as well.
There's a theme about your dad making you reckless. Madeline Hunter-Smith, what are your socials?
Her socials are at My Grandpa Scared Me. And
I'm going to change it. I think that's a good career move for me, actually. No, you can find me on Twitter. I believe it's at Madeline H. Smith, and then Instagram is Madeline Hunter-Smith.
And what did it used to be, sorry?
You want to know what it used to be?
I do.
It used to be at Boogie Dolla Down. Thanks for asking.
I remember.
Hey, I'd put a Boogie Dolla Down.
I would put a Boogie Dolla Down.
I don't know what a Boogie Dolla is. I want to point out that my social medias are almost all Mrs. N. Diamond, so I don't think you can get more ridiculous.
Fantastic.
I really think that your Instagram is Kara Johnson Diamond. I really do think that.
That's boring.
That's boring.
Why would I do that? Why would I leave Neil Diamond out of that? I wonder. What are your socials, Griff?
My socials are at Griffin Cork, and I'm not going to spell them. If you don't find it, that's fine.
I'll spell him. It's I-N, people. I named him. I chose the I. It's F-F-I-N.
Thank you, Mummy, for making sure people find my Twitter.
Listen, I'd like to thank our sponsors for a second. It's Calgary Arts Development Authority, the Rosé Foundation, the Calgary Foundation. The intro music you just heard and the outro music you're about to hear is by Alexandra Kalman, and all graphic design for The Breakfast Dish has been done by Morgan Ermter. Madeline Taylor-Gregg, Madeline Hunter-Smith, thank you so much for joining us on The Breakfast Dish. Before we go, we usually like to ask you a question that is vaguely breakfast-themed that Karen makes up right here on the spot, so we get to keep our name. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. She's a professional improviser.
Each of you come up with the scariest name for a breakfast cereal that you could think of.
Go, if you've got one.
No, I don't have one. It just made me think of my all-time favorite food, which is Count Chocula, and it only comes out at Halloween.
And now you can go buy it.
I know. I have 3 boxes.
Okay, name your scary breakfast cereal.
Didn't they have like four characters like that? Wasn't there also a
ghost?
Yeah,
there was like a blueberry
one. Grave berries or something?
Blueberry.
Yeah. And then there was a pink one, I believe.
Okay, name a cereal.
Oh, spiders.
What did you say? Spider what?
She didn't say anything else. She just said spiders.
Oh my god, that was good. Yeah, spiders. That's so scary.
What were you going to say?
That was all I had. Okay, thanks for coming, everyone.
Adeline Taylor-Gregg, name your cereal.
How about my grandpa scared me-os?
Oh. This is good.
I have not eaten enough today to laugh at. Awesome. Great way to freaking wrap up your podcast, Griffin. Who gave you this job? Karen, what else is going on this week?
All right. Grand Prairie Little Theater is presenting Every Brilliant Thing. It's a one-person show. It involves audience interaction. It is such a beautiful, beautiful script. Anyway, they're doing it live and in person. And because they moved their performance to the KMSC Law Performing Arts Theater attached to the St. John Paul II Catholic School on 300 Arbor Hills Boulevard, they can seat up to 100 patrons to take in each live performance. So the performances began on October 8th, and you can still see this production on October 22, 23, 24. And you can find all about it at gplt.ca/show/everybrilliantthing. Do that great outro you were about to do, Griffin.
Okay, perfect. And it's going to be great. No worries. Madeline Hunter-Smith, Madeline Taylor-Gregg, thank you very much for joining us and talking about spooking and haunting.
Wonderful.
Spooking and haunting. Thank you.
All right, Karen, as a sign-off, do your scariest creature sound. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Mommy wants to get that smooch off your... Come here, I'm licking my thumb. I want to get that thing off your forehead.
And fade out, fading out, and fading out.
This has been The Breakfast Dish.